to see some serious shit.
Yes, here we go again. It's time for another round of box office predictions, starring Wreck-It Ralph, Light, Skyfall, Lincoln, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2, Rise of the Guardians, Life of Pi, Red Dawn, The Hobbit Episode 1, Les Miserables, Monsters, Inc. 3D, Zero Dark 30, Jack Reacher, This Is 40, and Django Unchained. Now join your favourite Movie Bone characters for the Winter 2012 Box Office Prediction Special!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's predictions time again. We are the show that I think gives you what you want, and we know you enjoy this predictions lark. People are getting more and more interested in the money that movies make, and are also apparently interested in people arrogant enough to think they know more than the studios who actually pick these release dates in the hope that they can make the most money on that date. So we're going to do it all over again. We're not going to make you wait till next summer for the next round of insane predictions from the Movie Moan gang. Tonight we're going to look at the winter release schedule from November to December and predict the US domestic grosses on all of the big movies, 15 in all we've picked. My name is Phil G, the English gentleman at your service and your referee for this evening. Why am I the referee? Because there's no point me being a competitor. I've lost already. Let's meet our other contestants, though. In the blue corner, two-time world champion of box office predictions for this show, now marked for death because of it from the man I'll introduce in a moment, Mr. Jamie Williams.
Good evening, everyone.
And in the red corner, red for blood that he's baying for from Jamie, writer for boxoffice.com, Mr. Sean Robbins.
Gracious.
Wow.
No. We're now taking live,
I'm totally out for blood right now. It's on, Jamie. It is totally on.
It's not lying. It's like, because I basically sent an email to these guys at the start of the week, and I just told them what the movies were we were going to be covering, and I just left them to it. 24 hours later, after work, I come back to my computer, and there's like, what, 7 emails from you guys copying me in, going back and forth. It's like, it's just silly, it's childish, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it tonight. I hope you do too. But for the purposes of you guys, let's go over the ground rules for tonight.
No touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
We are only discussing films that are getting wide release. Limited releases and Oscar bait only are off the cards. It's no fun predicting limited releases, let's be honest.
Because you can't.
No, you can't. Well, you can't go into the millions on it, certainly.
Like, that's like us being like, you're talking about King's Speech, being like, bomb, you know. It's like, how could we have called that, you know?
And also, we're only predicting the US domestic gross for each film up to January 31st, 2013. That's our cut-off date. I think it's only going to be relevant for one movie that we talk about, but dem's the rules. And it was Sean's idea, actually, because he said quite rightly, although his motivation was entirely self-centered, that when we were talking about some of those movies... Well, dude, look, we had this problem, and you are quite right to call out, we had this problem with The Dark Knight Rises, that I had to basically say, okay, the books aren't closed, but we're going to close the books on it. Jamie won and you lost, and I think you're quite bitter about it. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's fair enough. It's fair enough. No, I mean, I should have understood that up front, so that's my fault. I should have asked.
Aww.
But, you know, he won fair and square as far as I'm concerned. I don't care. I'm still out for blood, but he won fair and square.
I don't get any money on this, so I'm not taking it personal.
See, is that Smeagol or is that Gollum talking right now? I don't know.
Yeah, give it a few minutes.
And that's it! Now let's do this!
We gotta try!
So how did I do?
Well, you almost blew up the whole mountain.
Right, right. That's a good note.
We kick off on November 2nd with Wreck-It Ralph, which is a film, unfortunately, we don't get until February next year. So
that's
it's
so
good.
Bullshit.
I know, you're more angry about it than me, but it means that, you know.
Because I love, that's why.
We can't even go into foreign grosses on this thing, even if we wanted to, because it doesn't come out till February. It's just insane. There's nothing else out. You know, my mother's forcing me to take her to see Hotel Transylvania. I think that might be a big hit, because it's all that's going to be playing.
It's a big hit here.
Oh, yeah, no, I heard. I also heard
it. I can't believe it. I would not have called that. I didn't call that fact.
I've already seen Mad Monster Party, but never mind. Anyway, Wreck-It Ralph, Sean. I remember, actually, Sean, that we had Nordling, Alan, on a good friend on when we talked about the trailer for this one. And I think it was Alan who said that the Oscar winner for Best Animated Film is a lock, and it's not Brave, it's this. Would you agree with that, and how big is this going to be?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Having not seen Wreck-It Ralph yet, obviously, I get the feeling he's right. I really do. Because personally, Brave underwhelmed for me. I thought it was it's definitely not one of my favorite Pixar movies, but yeah. This feels like kind of Toy Story for the new generation to me. It's that collection of all the classic characters that kids are going to love because it's computer animation. But in a way, it makes me feel old because adults like us now are totally going to see this. So I'm predicting, I think it could end up being bigger than what I'm predicting, but just to be on the safe side, I'm saying like 175. Domestic, but honestly, if it is as well liked as Toy Story, it could be much bigger. Because really, its biggest competition, other than Legend of the Guardians, or not Legend of the Guardians, Rise of the Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I get mixed up.
Yeah, there's too many Guardians. its biggest competition will be The Hobbit, but it'll be out for a month by then.
Right, it already
other than Guardians. So it's got plenty of time to make its money, and it could still play well. So, yeah, I think it definitely looks like a contender for that, for the animation Oscar.
Jamie, is Sean playing it safe?
Yes and no. I mean, I said wow into the comment section, only about the Oscar bet, because I'm like, I'm not so certain about that part. That's really going out there, with all due respect to you and Alan, and you're both great guys who know what you're talking about. Actually, I'm with Sean to a degree because there is nothing else out for the families for about 3 weeks until the Legend of the whatever the fuck you want to call it movie from DreamWorks, which we'll get to in a few minutes. That in its own right is going to be a pretty open playing field, and I actually think it's going to have I actually think this will outgross Brave. Brave currently, if I remember correctly, Brave I think is at 232, I think, domestically, which is a really solid number. It's a blockbuster. That's usually what Pixar movies have done lately, is in the low 200s. But I actually think this will probably do around 240, because it's got nothing else out, just by sheer virtue of that. And there's a thing about November I can't explain it. I don't know why it is, but family-friendly movies thrive in November. During the holiday season, more than they do during Christmas. Because during Christmas, you can get away with darker material because it's the Oscar season, that time. But something about November, and the one that always comes to my mind is, and I've used this example before, so you guys can shut me up at any moment, is November of 97. Because the movie that got all the hype and all the attention beforehand was Alien Resurrection. That was going to be one of the big movies of the holiday season. And it opened the same weekend, which was right before, the weekend before Thanksgiving, against Disney's Flubber, and Flubber absolutely kicked its ass, and nobody saw it coming, and Alien Resurrection flopped. And it's just a simple rule of, particularly during Thanksgiving, they want to go see family movies. I mean, we saw it with Happy Feet and Casino Royale. Although both those movies were big hits, Happy Feet won.
Oh, no, I was just going to jump in. I completely agree. November is that time of year. The one point I wanted to say that I meant to mention is, I'll put it this way, I'll just play devil's advocate. If there's one thing going against Wreck-It Ralph, and I'm not sure that it will, but if there is, it's the fact that we've had so many animated movies this year. We had Lorax, then we have Brave, Ice Age, Madagascar.
But all those movies did great, though. I mean,
they did. And then, but now we have Hotel Transylvania. So this is what's making me think that long term, that's not going to affect Wreck-It Ralph. Up front, though, it could lessen demand a little bit, because if you go a long period of time without a big animated movie, it helps that the next one that comes out. We saw that with Madagascar, especially this year. But, you know, if they market it right, and if the buzz is there, it might not matter anyway.
I think it's there because this is going to do what Scott Pilgrim couldn't do. You know, Scott Pilgrim wanted to go for the retro 80s 8-bit NES crowd, which is us. I mean, we were born in that era. We had played the game. And then kids today, and it wants to have it both ways. So, I mean, unfortunately, Scott Pilgrim's problem was, as did Tron, correct, Phil. The problem is, like, those two movies wanted to play to, they basically only played themselves to the geeks. They forgot, there are other people who want to go see this movie you're trying to appeal to. You cannot reach 200 million and up by just playing to one crowd, a small niche crowd. Excuse me, heavens. Very true. So, but this feels like they're actually doing it. Like, I mean, I think, honestly, I knew this was going to be a big hit the moment I saw the bad guys, support group. I knew it. That scene, is, I just knew. I was like, this is going to be a huge hit because that's going to play to so many different people. You see, you know, zombies from Resident Evil and Bowser from Super Mario Brothers, characters from Street Fighter. You've never seen that before in a movie. It's funny and it's for kids and it placed everybody on different levels, and then and there I knew. And then, you know, they're going to have the accompanying 8-bit game, which will probably, you know, depending on the popularity of the movie, I could see that doing huge also. I think, what did I give a number? I'm going to say about 245 actually.
Woo!
I'm going to say 245. I'm going to go out there. Right or wrong, I'm putting it on the table. I think this is going to do better than Brave. Also, you know, there's a thing about goodwill from other movies is Disney's their own animated films outside of Pixar, they've got some goodwill, because the last one that they did, if I correct me on this, was Tangled. That movie did $200 million. It was a blockbuster, a movie that people really liked. It just kind of quietly got to those numbers. It was very pretty. People enjoyed it. I think the goodwill could also help it.
Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think the best thing about Tron Legacy was it probably got this film greenlit. If it's as good as people hope it is. My only problem is that I'm not sold on it. I enjoyed the teaser trailer, but I wasn't falling over head over heels with it. I really, really enjoyed the theatrical trailer, the last trailer we got. That really sold me on it, but I just don't think the film will be that good, I'm afraid. I think it'll be funny.
I'm not saying it'll be that good, but I think it'll appeal to people nonetheless. It's like Taken 2. Like, that's a terrible movie, but look at the business it's doing.
I think with animated movies, that what pushes these things into classics, what makes them really connect, or what brings up the big books that you're talking about, is the ability to connect, really connect with an audience. I think How to Train Your Dragon is a really great example of a film that comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
It opens big because of what it is, but it stays around because, you know, of its heart, of the fact that it really connects with that audience and they go and see it again. And then the life that these things have post theatrical release is just insane. But I'm going to be conservative on this one, I'm afraid. I just don't see it being that big. I'm sure it'll be really entertaining. A 4-star movie even, but I certainly don't see it being the next Toy Story or anything. Well, nothing can be the next Toy Story, but I think it'll be good, it'll be great, it'll be funny, it'll be big, but I can't go to 200. I just can't see it. I'm going to say 195. Cheeky as that is, I'm going to say 195. That's still a big hit for something which is a new commodity.
No one could have landed that plane like I did.
The next movie, also opening on November 2nd in competition, although not for the same audience certainly, is Robert Zemeckis' Flight. I really put this on here because I'm really, really looking forward to this film. I think it's a great idea, and it's got a hell of a lot of potential to be a cracking film. For those of you who don't know, and from what I understand, the plot is basically that Denzel Washington is a pilot who is suddenly forced to land a plane on an emergency, and then it finds out afterwards, once he's hailed as a hero who's saved everybody's life, that he actually had alcohol in his system, and it could all be his fault. And even though the posters might be telling you otherwise, what the movie really appears to be about is what happens after he lands the plane. It's not Flight Plan. So let's find out what Sean thinks about Flight.
I'm really looking forward to it personally. This one's hard to call for me because I've heard some things that it's got good Oscar buzz already. The most interesting aspect to me is the fact that it's Zemeckis' first live-action movie in over a decade. So the question is, can he still do it? And I love the work he's done. So personally, as a fan, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just not quite sure. The big thing against it is that it comes out the same day as Wreck-It Ralph, and that is counter-programming. So it's going to have completely different audiences in some ways, but it'll be more about the legs than anything, I think. If you look at, I think it was 2007, kind of the funny story is that a Denzel Washington movie opened against another big animated movie, except the animated movie wasn't that big. And that was when American Gangster came out the same day as B-Movie. And they're going for the exact same strategy here.
Right.
Except this time, the animated movie, I think, is going to be the bigger story, both on opening weekend and in the long run. But I still, you know, the trailer's great. I'm just not sure it's going to interest many people under the age of 30 or 25, whatever the demographic ranges are. We talked about that a long time ago. But it's Denzel, and he's one of the few box office stars out there. I don't think he gets enough credit.
He can open a movie. People don't understand that. He can open a movie. He appeals to white and black men and women, young and old. I mean, when I saw Safe House, we saw Safe House come out this year. Terrible movie, but that movie made a lot of money. And, even though Ryan Reynolds was the lead, he was completely hidden in the marketing. They didn't want you to know he was in it. They wanted you to see, I made the joke, but the entire marketing was Denzel kicks ass the movie. And that's why people went. The money shot in that movie was Denzel smiling, and it's not even in the movie.
That shot cost $80 million. Anyway, let Sean pick his number.
I have to pick a number, don't I? I'm going to go with, I don't know, $90 million. I think it's going to be a hit, and if it has Oscar buzz, that's going to help it. That's going to carry it. The big thing against it, though, is adults are going to go for Skyfall in November. And that's going to hurt it in the long run, I think. But, you know, it's Denzel. So like we've been talking about, he's going to bring in people, and he's one of the last few true stars out there that can actually guarantee an audience usually. So I'll say $90 million. That's a solid round number to me. And that gets it in, depending on the budget, that gets it close to hit territory, quote unquote.
It follows the same path, I just typed this in, but it follows the same path of Robert Zemeckis' films before he went into the whole mocap obsession for a couple of years. And we're talking like Howard Hughes obsession. Like that's all he did, and pissed into jars and all that stuff. Was like, the trailer showed the entire movie. And so I watched the Flight trailer and you basically have gotten the entire narrative. You see, like, and I don't remember correctly. Isn't this based on a true story? Didn't this really happen? Or maybe I'm completely hearing that wrong.
I don't know, actually. It feels like it is, but I don't know.
Yeah, it might not be. But also, Denzel opens movies good, but also his movies don't, they rarely go past $100 million, and they've got to have that extra oomph. And Sean gave the example, a great example of American Gangster, but the whole appeal of that movie was it just looked awesome, and it was him. And, like, they used their last names, Washington, Crow, Scott, and that sold it. And not so much Scott, but no offense, Ridley, Sir Ridley. But, but then B-Movie actually, they both opened big, and I remember B-Movie came back to number one the next weekend, I remember. But I'm with Sean, it's a hard movie to call. I don't see it doing 100. It just, I'm looking forward to it because it is Zemeckis, and I don't even know about the awards season per se. I'm actually going to go, Sean said 90, I'm actually going to go 70. Not to be a dick, but I don't see this one going over well. I just don't see it.
It's interesting, actually, because I remember over here, American Gangster opened head-to-head with Beowulf. I chose Beowulf. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just with Sean on this. I just think it looks as great as it looks, and even though it's got Denzel, it's opening at a time where it's going to be crushed. It's opening against huge movies, which even though they're original properties, they've got a built-in audience. And just because I'm really looking forward to it doesn't mean that I can over.
You know what it reminds me of, Phil? It reminds me of like this happened last couple of years. Universal during 4th of July weekend, they'll put the adult alternative program movie up against the big blockbuster, and it never works.
No, so
they put Public Enemies against Transformers 2, died. You know, they did the next year they did Larry Crown up against what was the 4th of July movie of 2010? It was like a Twilight Eclipse, died. And then this past summer they did Savages against the Amazing Spider-Man, died. And it's like that's what this feels like. They're just kind of putting something out there, thinking, oh, the grown-ups will show up for this movie, and everyone else will go see the other movie. But they're forgetting grown-ups have to take kids to movies, so you're kind of losing your audience right there.
So I'm gonna lowball you guys. I'm gonna say 60, and I don't want to. But I just think all the evidence is saying that under normal circumstances, if this was coming out in September, something like that, I'm sure it would do much more than I'm giving it credit for. But yeah, it's going to be an underperformer just because of bad timing. Shame that. Let's move on. But I hope it's good. I really do. I'm looking forward to that one. God knows when we get it. Probably February. Anyway, moving on. Skyfall. Fuck this show. I'm too excited. I'm just going to stare at my calendar for the next couple of weeks. Okay. Excuse me. Are you still there?
It's my show now.
Oh, anyway. you can hear from me in a moment because I might be a while on this one. But I understand. As I understand it, as far as Jamie and Sean are concerned, this is going to be one of the big battles of this show, and I'm just going to sit back and let it happen. But please let each other speak in turn. Sean?
Actually forgot. Yeah, okay, I know what you're alluding to now. Because I'm saying 215, maybe even a little higher, but I'm officially going to say 215. It's going to outgross Ghost Protocol last year. It's going to be the highest grossing Bond movie. It's going to be the first Bond movie to hit 200 million. And it's going to restore – this is where my faith is really coming in. It's going to get back to that Casino Royale momentum of, wow, this is the Bond we've been wanting to see for years. Not just what Bond fans are saying, but what everybody else is saying. And, you know, other than Flight, I'm just looking at the schedule here. There's not really – there's a few things coming out after it that kind of go for the young and old adult audience, but – not really much, nothing that's big. You got Twilight and a few other things, but if you can even say those go for adults at all, it's going to have a lot of playability. And if it's a good movie, it's going to take advantage of that. And I'm sure you're going to hit on this, Phil, but it looks like it's pretty good to me. Every time I see a trailer for it, it screams.
You get excited.
This is the event Bond movie we wanted in 2008. And I'm a defender of Quantum of Solace. It's not the greatest Bond movie. It's got plenty of flaws, but I like it. I think it's probably because I like Craig so much, but I would defend it. But compared to Skyfall, Skyfall's marketing is just, it's selling it in about the best possible way you could. And when you have Adele's song this week getting so much mainstream press, I think it shot up to number one on iTunes in like a day. I think that speaks volumes about what we're going to see next month.
The only thing I would disagree with Sean over is that Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace also had next to no competition in those demographics, and yet they still did the numbers they did. Casino Royale still had amazing word of mouth. It did great business. And so did word of mouth was more mixed. But I'd say, to be fair, I think it was more mixed to positive on Quantum. It wasn't terrible, but it was because I feel like if any Bond movie was going to do $200 million domestically, it would have been Quantum because it had so much momentum after the last movie. Really did reinvigorate that franchise with Craig. I'm not saying it won't do. I just don't see it. I mean, we also just look at Bond from the history of the franchise, and the increments of the increases are by about $20 million or so. So even if you go by $20 million extra of what the last movie did, you're still looking at just under 190. And I think that's probably what it does. I think it's going to get an extra bump, and my official prediction is 190, actually. I'm not saying it won't hit 200. Actually, but there's a part of me thinks it might go a little lower to 185. We do agree that it is going to outgross Quantum of Solace. I'm hoping that the mixed reception of Quantum won't hurt the opening weekend of Skyfall. And because we talked about this, like, oh, but it's been so many years, people will get past it. And then we realize, no, they won't. I mean, we just saw it with Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, it did well. It did better than we expected, but it's still the lowest grossing Spider-Man movie, and its opening was really, when you look at the franchise's history, it's disappointing because people really hated the last movie. We saw it with Men in Black 3. 10 years later, it had a much lower opening because people didn't like the last movie, and people were very mixed on Quantum of Solace. So there's a part of me that wonders, that does think this could hurt it, but Bond has been around for 50 years. It's been able to survive bad word of mouth and mixed films. I mean, the great example is the 6-year gap between License to Kill underperforming to Goldeneye being a huge hit. So, and I think there's been enough time. It's been 4 years. People are hungry to see the character again. Everything about the marketing of this movie has been great, with the exception of the posters. They're not good. But all the trailers, all the TV spots, the song, everything looks awesome. And the 50th anniversary, which they're pimping right now. So I'm going to say 190.
No, it's interesting. Just before Sean comes in, I saw an article this week. I don't know where it was, but it basically had 4 posters from Skyfall, and it said "Spot the Fake," and there were 3 absolutely beautifully designed posters, which all had a kind of thematic material in some way linked to the sky falling or MI6 being destroyed. They looked fantastic, and then I had just the official one of Craig against the white background, and it said "Spock the Fake," and then it said, "Ha, fooled you. The first 3 are fan-made posters. The 4th one should be fan-made, but is actually the Photoshop shit they've gone with." And I realised that's embarrassing, because it's honestly, I don't usually fall into this sort of thing, but it was true. The posters, now that we stop and think about it, have been really, really crappy. I really like the ones for Quantum, actually. Even the one
Quantum
that Jamie hated.
Quantum were really good. I mean, the main Casino Royale one sheet's pretty bad, too. It's like Craig badly photoshopped walking away from Vesper. Like, that's terrible. But, like, you know, the main one was like him at a poker booth with a gun concealed. Like, that was a great poster. It was very simple. It told you the whole story right there. But I'm interrupting.
It's the Batman Begins thing. It's the first time out, you don't know exactly how you need to market this thing. You're going to make some mistakes. Second time out, you're more confident. This one, it feels a bit complacent. Just in the posters, and that's a shame.
Yeah, but Bond is the only franchise that sells itself, though. So it doesn't matter what they do.
But I do not subscribe to that argument ever.
I would say 50 years of a franchise still viable. They haven't stopped making movies in 50 years. The shortest time period was 6 years in 50 years. So to me, it says, like, yeah, people know exactly what to expect with a Bond movie, and they love that. They love the tradition. They love the tradition of seeing the new guy, of him settling in, and all that stuff. Now it's like, oh well, you know, how's Q gonna be? You know, is Moneypenny in this? Is this the last one with Judi Dench? All that stuff. The action looks great. I mean, they're really selling it really well.
This is what frustrates me so much, because I keep seeing these fucking comments from people who've seen the full-length trailer, the fantastic full-length Tour de Force trailer, saying, oh, why don't you show me the whole movie? I feel like I've seen the whole movie. You don't know anything!
You know nothing, Mr. Bond.
You don't know.
How can you say that when Javier Bardem, who's the villain, who's barely in the trailer, barely in any of the trailers?
You haven't seen, you don't know exactly what Ralph Fiennes' deal is. You've not seen Albert Finney in the trailers, yet we know he's
barely
in it.
Yep.
Naomi Harris, barely in it. I'm starting to think we've actually...
Q has gotten the biggest, like, of all the new characters, yeah. He's the one that's gotten the most. Even more than Judi Dench, actually, I'd argue.
To this day, Jamie and I don't know if they're actually going to off-M. They might.
I still think they're going to.
And I don't. But even if I'm going to know before you do. Nee, 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 nee. Anyway,
that's okay.
Sean, go on.
Oh, well, Okay, two things. I'll just say, on the posters, I guess I'm alone. I really love the poster that they're using. Now, maybe you guys are talking about different ones. The only one that's coming to my mind is where he's... It's pretty much the gun barrel, and he's walking towards you. Is that the one you guys are referring
to? That's one of them. I don't think it's good.
That's the teaser.
I mean, it's not the greatest poster in the world, but... And I really like the Casino Royale poster you guys are talking about. I agree there. It's probably the best one they've done so far. But this new one, I don't know. There's something about it. It's just, it's simple. It's raw. It's exactly what people see. It's what they think when they hear James Bond. So, I mean, on that point, I like the new poster. But what I was really going to say was kind of in regards to what you were talking about, Jamie, with how you guys compared the Spider-Man drop-off and, you know, the gap between movies and the effect of Quantum of Solace not being nearly as well liked. My theory there, I think, is that, you know, when we look at that transition between Bond movies in the past, you know, you went from License to Kill to GoldenEye and then from Die Another Day to Casino Royale. The box office dropped off a little bit each time in terms of tickets sold and everything. But I think the difference here is that people already know Daniel Craig and people already know they like Daniel Craig.
Well, there's always a bump when there's a new guy. The receipts always go up because everyone wants to see how the new guy does. But the second one always goes down, usually. And like, there's been two exceptions. Well, I'm thinking of other movies, but like, you know, Craig's movie slightly went up. It had a big bump worldwide, but no, it's about $20 million increase. No, it did less. Fuck me. Just erase what I said.
It's Quantum's legs were... I mean, this is the hard part where I'm probably biased because I've always have been a defender of the last movie.
Oh, so have we. So you're...
Yeah, okay, right. Okay. So, I really... The more I look back at that total, it did 168 domestic after opening to 67.5. That's not good. Like, and I think people kind of liked it, but every Bond fan or just, you know, like my dad or whoever, just regular people I've talked to, didn't like that movie. I've always felt very alone, so it's kind of good to know that you guys are defenders of it in some ways too. But it's, I think the time in between, because it's been 4 years now, and the fact that people like Craig is really going to help out. And the one thing I don't think any of us have mentioned yet is IMAX. And that's going to help. That's going to add a lot, especially with Roger Deakins' cinematography, I think. It's going to make it the most beautiful Bond film that's been made yet. That's me getting fanboy, but yeah,
no, I think you're absolutely right.
That looks fantastic.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I'll let Phil chime in now.
To answer Jamie's earlier point, I don't think Quantum's going to hate it at all. I just think it looks that good that I think people have wiped it from their mind. Because we've got to face facts. As far as some people were concerned, it's not that Quantum was a bad movie, although it was for people, but it was also a forgettable movie, which can actually work in the favour of the next movie sometimes. If it's forgettable, you've forgotten it, so you can move on. And also, I mean, they have done everything in their power to make this an event. It's Sam Mendes directing. It's the best cast we've ever seen. And as I'm saying again, we don't know what the story is. We don't know half of the twists and surprises this movie might have in store. I could be wrong. It could be exactly what it is in the trailer. There could be no surprises, but somehow I don't think for the 50th anniversary that they're going to give us anything in any way conventional in that regard.
I think what could happen, we could have a Spy Who Loved Me type bump, or is the third one that really just takes it off, because it was a couple extra years between release, not a couple extra, but like, you know, it was supposed to come out like a year earlier, came out a year later, so they had more time to focus on the script, and they knew like it really, really, and also with GoldenEye, they knew they had to have a good movie. Not just a good Bond movie, they knew they had to have a good movie. And
I think this will be Craig's best. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it right
now. That's reaching. That's reaching. And I only say that because Casino Royale was that good. But you know, knock on wood, that's the case.
It's tough. It's tough. And the previous numbers do tell a story. Royale did 167. Quantum did 168, which is not exactly the bump you'd hope for in a sequel. But you've got a film like Mission Impossible 4 doing 208. There's a lot of factors that come into that, but I think the film is going to be fantastic, and I think quality is going to translate to box office. I think the movie's going to move like gangbusters. It's going to have a terrific pace, even though it's also going to have the length of a satisfying film this time, not like Quantum, which was barely 100 minutes.
Quantum was good that it had a tight length, though. I mean, like, actually, some people are now... That was a good thing. I mean, They're too used to their own fucking. They are too caught up in their own traditions, and they can't get past it. And I think it was a good thing, actually. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Oh, no, actually, this is just a random thought I had, but I'm kind of getting that Fast Five feeling from it. And I know,
interesting.
It's not a straight up franchise comparison, but in some ways it can be. It's just that it's that feeling of. Like you guys have been talking about, the marketing is selling it as an event in a way that no Bond film has. Well, Fast Five, mm-hmm. Universal did that with that franchise. They completely changed the face of everything that movie or that entire series was.
Yep.
And the movie before that kind of helped because it reunited the cast. It brought back what people wanted to see. It was the sequel that they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I just thought of it. That movie opened it. I think 86 million.
It stole Thor's thunder. No pun intended. It did.
I would not rule that out. I would not rule out Skyfall getting somewhat close to that. Maybe not topping it, but I definitely think 75 to 80.
I agree.
Is on the table. Probably a little more. Like it could top Fast Five and completely blow out my 215 projection.
Well, we've got to move on to all these other movies. We're only at film 3 here, but I'll give you a number. I am gonna say. 205. It can do it. It can do it. Don't make me a liar, Skyfall. Don't make me a liar. Let's move on.
This settles the fate for all coming time. Not only of the millions now in bondage, but of unborn millions to come. Shall we stop this bleeding?
Lincoln, it's showtime, Jamie. Sean, excuse me. Sean, Lincoln, by the way, opens November 9th, limited release, head-to-head against Skyfall, November 16th, wide, against Twilight. And I think that really comes into play here. So, Sean, what's it going to do?
Here, I'm going to just preface this with, yes, Steven Spielberg made Amistad. Because every time I talk to somebody about Lincoln... And I'm very optimistic about it. I just get this response, well, he's not perfect. He did Amistad. This could be that again. And it could be. That's true. But I really don't get the feeling that it will be. And just looking at what War Horse did here last year, that movie had such a more obscure subject matter. It could have easily turned into this under-the-radar movie that would have been good and still had Oscar buzz, but people still wouldn't have seen it. And it still ended up doing $75 or $80 million domestic. But now you add in a Steven Spielberg movie with one of the most respected actors working, coming off of Best Actor win just a few years ago. And one of probably the most important aspect to all of this is the most beloved president, arguably, that America's ever had. And just judging by the trailers, it looks like it could be a crowd pleaser, but it's also going to be, it's probably going to have these deeper, darker elements to it as well. So it really depends on how they balance it, but, you know, I get the feeling this could be maybe a King's Speech kind of run this year. Maybe not quite as big, because I don't think it'll be as light, for lack of a better word, as King's Speech was at times. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it personally, but it's also just that it's one of those movies that it's one of those biographical dramas that I think people are really going to be interested in. So, you know, it's definitely a contender for $100 million for me. I'm going to say 95. I'm going to cut it off right there just to be on the safe side, I guess. But everything they've put out about it. And I think putting out a TV spot after the debate was an interesting strategy. But yeah, I'll say 95.
See, I think the problem is that they're putting it too close to the election. It's just by then everyone's, you know, we got a month left to go. We're not going to play politics here. Who, you know, what we think of either guy personally. But I think by then people are going to be ready to move on. They want to get it out of them. And the movie they're going to want to see is The Escapist Entertainment, not, you know, something that's reminded. People go to the movies to begin with to escape, to get away from reality. That's like when after 9/11 happened, they went to all these, you know, people were like, oh, well, no one will go see don't say a word that Michael, I think that's what it was called, the Michael Douglas movie with Brittany Murphy. Oh, no one will go see that. It's about terrorism. And they went to see it. No one will go see Training Day, but they wanted to get away from that stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I think they're going to be so tired of hearing about presidents and the election, all that stuff, no matter who wins, that I think it might hurt it, actually. I do get an Amistad vibe from this, and Lincoln is my most anticipated movie this fall. I can't wait to see it, and I liked the trailer we saw, and actually we've been holding off on talking about it on Movie Moan, but I didn't like that TV spot, because it was kind of the same footage, and it was just like, it was, I don't know, it felt a little heavy-handed, that TV spot, and actually I will get into politics a little bit. I saw that TV spot and I thought, boy, they really thought Obama was going to win that debate, and that's how they cut that TV spot. Sean, you talk about War Horse. I thought that had a great hook, which is, you know, what it's about. It didn't matter that it was about a horse, it was about any of our pets. We've all had a dog or a cat or even a horse, if you will, that we all loved, and like it's a story of the bond between an owner and its pet, and I thought that was universal, and that would make it really be a breakout hit last Christmas. No, seriously, and it wasn't. Like, you know, Free Willy was about the bond between a boy and a whale. You see, that's silly, but that was a huge hit when it came out.
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point.
I think probably what they should have done was wait another month, to be honest, because then they could get in the middle of the Oscar campaign, because really the Oscar stuff really, I mean, yeah, it's November, that's when it starts, but it really gets hot and heavy during December, and I feel like they kind of fucked up. And there's another movie coming out that might be an Oscar contender, and I think they did the smarter move by saying, we're going to get away from the election, we're going to come out a month afterwards, so we can, people will be tired of it, and like, it's over, so we don't have to talk about the election anymore, we can go back to our normal lives now, and then we can talk about this movie. And like, I think they fucked up by putting it in November personally. I'm actually going to say $60 million. I don't think it's going to go over well. Although Lincoln is the best president we've ever had.
You hear it here, Jamie. Jamie hates America.
I do, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Fuck off, America. I'm gonna say $60 million. I just don't. Whew. Go ahead.
No, you know what? I know. I understand why you're saying that. I haven't got a clue. I mean, if you look at it as a biopic, or even as a Spielberg film like War Horse that doesn't get much marketing or attention, you're talking $75 million best case scenario, and it almost feels like they're dumping it where they are. I mean, this was a bad month. To dump it. I mean, and there's not much room to maneuver.
They think they're being smart by doing this. They're being dumb by doing this. That's just, it's so stupid.
Do you know what cracks me up?
It's like when you put a movie about Halloween in October. Well, it's dumb because you know what? The very next month, you're out of business. No one's going to go anymore. No, seriously. You put a horror movie in October, you're doing a terrible idea.
Yeah, but those movies are front-loaded anyway.
What you do is you put the movie in September and let it play into October, or put it at the very beginning of October. That's why Halloween movies, like the franchise, Michael Myers, you know, that one, they don't come out in October anymore. They used to. And they realized, like, well, we could probably be smart if we played it in August, and if we could play it in October.
I don't know. I think if they put it in December, that's an even worse idea, because then you're...
Sorry, is this a horror film? Did I misread it?
Vampire Hunter.
There are some racists in America who think it's a horror movie. Yes.
Oh, ouch. Well, okay. Before we get into this, without getting into anything else, I'm just going to say, I think if they did put it in December, it would not have gone over well. It probably still would have done well just because it's Spielberg and people are automatically going to see it. But then you're contending against other movies we're talking about today, like Les Mis, Django, just several other movies.
I was referring to the Bin Laden movie, actually.
Oh, or that one too, I'll save that for when we talk about it later.
Sure.
As far as you, I think you compared it to like the Halloween movies, and particularly with the election, that could be a point. Maybe people will be sick of it by that point. I think if this were a movie about a more modern president, that would definitely hold true. It's just with Lincoln, I think the time gap.
Well, look at W. Look what they did, the exact same thing. That movie bombed, and you could tell
exactly.
You about.
But that was too current for people, in my opinion.
I don't think it was the fact that it was a current president. I think it was the fact that it was about a president during a year of a presidential election, and people just get tired of that quickly. It doesn't matter who it is. I personally think, because that movie got a lot of press, and like nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think W. I'll eat my words, but I think it's on the opposite end of the spectrum from Lincoln. Okay. But you could be right. We'll see what happens. Like I said, this kind of hits the trifecta of things for me because Lincoln's my favorite president.
I
love Day-Lewis and
me
I love Spielberg. So
me too. Oh shit, dude. Let's hang out.
For the third or fourth time, I'm saying this today, but I could be a fanboy. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, you know what, Lincoln fanboy? Like, that's a bad thing. I usually being a fanboy is a bad thing, but you're being a fanboy towards the greatest president ever. That's okay. It's okay.
Guys, you can be a fanboy of Star Wars or Twilight or
without Lincoln.
We're talking about a president. We're talking about
I meant more Spielberg and Day-Lewis, but hey, why can't you be a fanboy of Lincoln?
Do you know what kills me about this? I have a feeling that if this movie were made in the 80s or the 1990s, this could have been one of the biggest films of all time.
I agree, actually.
Now it just feels overdue. You know, and I don't...
It's been delayed for years, too, though. That's the other thing. And, like, that's something that general public doesn't realize. They don't know that. But the three of us, we know that. It was originally supposed to come out in 2009. It was supposed to come out 3 years ago. And it just kept delaying it, and I think we upgraded. I mean, Liam Neeson's an awesome actor, but Daniel Day-Lewis is even awesomer. That's no such word. But I don't know, man. I'm just not feeling it with this movie.
Blackfire, too. I mean, you wait for a movie for that long, and it comes out, and if it's not the best thing ever, you say, I waited for that. That's it. Sure. It's okay, but...
I don't know.
I'm going to say 75. Because I think that's the kind of movie we're looking at. I think we're looking at a best-case scenario with this, because it's got appeal. But best-case scenario doesn't mean that much. And that's what it's going to be. But anyway, sorry, Abe. We still love you. Let's move on.
Hurt you.
The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 2, aka The Final Chapter, aka Twilight The Last Stand. Sean, is this going to get ugly between you and Jamie? What's this going to do?
I don't know, should it?
No, I don't think so. I think we're in agreement on this one, actually.
Probably. I would say so, because in my opinion, these are the most predictable movies we've seen maybe ever. I think the last one did drop off a little bit, but it still did that 280 range, which is, I think all the movies, excluding the first one, of course, have done between 280 and 300. Mm-hmm. And that's right where I think this one's going to fall. Yep. I don't see the finale factor being nearly as big as it was for Harry Potter. Obviously that one had 3D to help it and Twilight won't, but
Dark Knight Rises
or Dark Knight. This is one of those, maybe the only franchise where it's so huge that it mistakenly looks like there's tons of mainstream interest. And there is to some extent, but I don't think that fan base has really grown since the second movie. The first movie came out of nowhere, it opened big, and then it actually held on pretty well because everybody wanted to see what this Twilight thing was all about.
And it outgrossed Quantum of Solace.
And yeah, which, I mean, who could have seen that coming?
Nobody could have saw that coming.
And then the second movie and the third movie and the fourth movie, you know, they come out, they do huge numbers. I'll admit it, I underestimated the second and third one. I was like, there's no way this is going to happen again. The fad's gone. And I was wrong. People came back, but that's because the fans kept coming back. And you put it out against something like Skyfall, any small chance you had of getting more mainstream interest is probably gone at this point.
Whoa, really? Because, I mean, we just saw an example of, like, the first Twilight beat the shit out of the big Bond sequel, so you think so?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, then Twilight was an unknown thing. I think that's where my opinion comes in, that everybody wanted to see what the Twilight thing was all about. Because the books were just starting to become really popular then. And then it has this big opening weekend, which gets people talking about it. And then when your Bond movie completely disappoints, I mean, you've got two negatives going against each other to where it made sense ultimately that Twilight won.
But I don't see how Twilight.
I think we see the exact opposite.
But I don't see how Twilight wins here. I mean, even if Bond does the numbers that you guys think it will, with all due respect, it's not going to be Twilight. I don't even think worldwide. I think Twilight. In fact, if anything, Twilight.
Oh, I know.
Twilight will take away from it worldwide.
worldwide, well, that's the thing. I'm not saying, I don't think Bond's gonna beat Twilight. Is that what you're saying, or did I get that backwards?
Hey, it came off like you were saying, like, Bond could, like, take away from Twilight, which I think is how it came off.
Well, not so much take away from it, but just prevent some curiosity from it. Because when in 2008 we had Quantum, you know, a lot of people think it sucked, and then Twilight, a lot of people know about it, just the fans, and the fan base kept growing from there. And I think that fan base growth was all those people, you know, checking it out. And this time, everybody knows what Twilight is.
Yep.
And on top of that, Twilight's not the big series anymore.
No,
Harry Potter's done. Dark Knight's done. Twilight's ending. Hunger Games is what everybody's interested in now. So I think indirectly that might kind of hurt it a little bit, but that's probably a little bit of a stretch too. But really my ultimate point is I don't see much of a difference happening. I see fans flocking to the theaters opening weekend again. It'll probably do 140 million.
You think again?
130 to 140, you know.
The last one did 138, which was considered not a disappointment, but they're like, wow, wasn't as big as, I don't know what Eclipse did. I know it's the biggest grosser, but,
yeah, I don't know, it's on Wednesday, so it's kind of a technicality.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gonna have the big, I'm gonna see it at midnight, because fuck it, why not? That's right, laugh at me right now, ladies and gentlemen, but.
Well, they're doing all those marathons.
They are.
Wrap into the opening weekend.
And Sean and I have agreed to go together to see it, so.
I wanna see the people walking out of them. I wanna see the damage that does. I'm gonna do it. I mean, I've said to myself that you can't talk about a series unless you've seen it. You can't kick them in the teeth. So when this last one comes out on their DVD, I'm gonna watch all of them in one go if I can. I've said that's the plan anyway. But no, I'm not gonna see it theatrically. Sorry, Jamie. I'm not gonna be with you on this one.
I saw the last one theatrically. Cause again, I was.
Like, I know you did.
And
Didn't ask you to. Anyway, let's let Sean give us a number, sir.
Yeah, I'll say 285. No, I'll say 287. Just because I can.
Highest grosser is Eclipse. That could arguably be because they put it out during summer and had a bigger splash. I'm back and forth, but I think it's going to top Eclipse domestically. Because that's going to be a tall order. That's a shit ton of money. Even though Sean's prediction is a shit ton of money, that's a lot. I'm gonna say 305. I'm gonna say it'll be the highest gross of the franchise. It'll get a slight finale bump, and I will probably be proven wrong by that. Actually, I fully think I'm gonna lose this one, but I'm gonna say 305. Fuck it.
You're not gonna lose this one because I'm gonna overbid you actually. Because I fully believe in the final chapter bump. And we've seen it time and time again. I mean, I'd never followed the numbers on these movies and I was looking at them. I assumed it played like Potter where it's very front loaded in the States but the bulk of the money comes from foreign. God, was I wrong. I mean, it's more like it literally makes half of its worldwide gross in the States. Eclipse made $300 million in a competitive summer. Well, it was against The Last Airbender, but that's besides the point. The last one made just below that, and it was the first part of this story. You know, the unsatisfying part, you know, that just ends. This is the finale, even though I don't think it looks exciting.
It looks lame. And I'm not saying that to beat up Twilight fans, because I've actually been, like, one of the few online movie news guys who defends those movies and their fans, because fuck it, there's nothing wrong with their crap. We have our crap, too. But it just looks lame. Even the posters are bad, like laughably bad. Like the final one sheet they put out is like them running. Have you guys seen this one sheet?
Yeah, I wish it was in 3D.
It's laughable. It's so bad. And it's like, I realize that they're like, you know what, fuck it. Like people are going to show up regardless. We've got our money made. But it's like, you can make a little bit of an effort. Like again, I'm going to compare it to Dark Knight Rises. Like that had the finale bump factor. And Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, like those two movies had the finale factors, and they had great one sheets, and they had great imagery and great TV spots, like selling you a certain thing, like Harry Potter will die, Batman will die. Well, they didn't die at the end. You knew they weren't, but it doesn't matter. Like that created intrigue, really great one sheets that you would want to hang up on at your house as fans. And yeah, there are people who have Twilight one sheets. Don't laugh at me, but well, actually you can't. I don't give a shit. But there's none of that with this last Twilight movie. Like, they could put forth a little bit of an effort with this, and, like, they're running. And Bella's got mom jeans on for some reason. Well, she's a mom, actually, now. You know, just...
And it doesn't even seem like they're actually selling it.
They're not trying.
No, as the final chapter. I mean,
the
tagline mentions it, the trailer mentions it, but it doesn't feel like, you know, who's going to live, who's going to die, how's it all going to end. It doesn't have that feeling about it, but...
And you know what the other problem is, Phil, is that all the crazy stuff happened in the last movie. The stuff that, like, you know, the infamous Devin Faraci article, we're talking about all the crazy shit that happens where he falls in love with a baby and the C-section with the teeth and all that stuff. That was in the last movie.
Oh, God. There's no accounting for taste, though, on this series, so I'll say 310. I'm not going to massively overbid you, Jamie, but I'll say 310 on that.
We could be wrong. It's funny, we could be wrong. There is a part of me that does think, like, this could be, like, the lowest grosser next to the last one, the first one. Because I actually, for the longest time, I thought the last movie did, like, 260, and I looked up and was like, wait, it's 281, wow. Because, like, for a while, it was kind of trailing in the 250s region. I didn't know that. It was just like, okay, yeah. That's interesting.
I honestly think that with this kind of deal, that there are people who, assuming that they know it's the last one, we'll go and see this out of sheer curiosity. What we said, I mean, the trailers and the posters aren't really doing a very good job of selling it. It just looks like another one, and people who are indifferent to it are just like, how long is this going to last?
It's not going to gain any new supporters or lose any supporters. It's the last one.
I think some people will see it, though, that wouldn't see just another Twilight. If they know it's the last one, they'll go out of sheer curiosity at the midnight show, just like yourself, just to comment and yell at the screen. That's probably what you'll get. But 310. Best of luck, Twilight. We'll miss you.
You take the ones on the left, I'll take the ones on the right.
November 21st gives us Rise of the Guardians. Sorry, DreamWorks Rise of the Guardians. Bad title. Bad title, first of all. I mean, it's not selling it. Sean, let me ask you that question first before you give us a number. When you just hear the title Rise of the Guardians and you know nothing about it, what would you assume it was?
Probably some kind of fantasy, like live action kind of Wrath of the Titans fantasy movie. That's what comes to my mind.
How's it going to do then? As well as Wrath of the Titans.
Well, I gotta give it points because it's coming out a couple of days, or the day before Thanksgiving, I think. And that's always been a good time. That's Enchanted, you know, Tangled. That's that date that Disney's always gone for. And we talked about, what was it? Yeah, we talked about Tangled 2 years ago, and then Megamind actually came out the month before. So you now have DreamWorks and Disney kind of flopping their release dates. And I think carryover from Wreck-It Ralph is, if it lives up to all of our expectations, it's definitely going to hurt Guardians. What does go in favor of Guardians is the holiday theme, but that can only help you so much if the movie's not good. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the animation in the trailers, it almost looks incomplete to me. It's almost like they're not even putting forth their best effort yet, and that might just be because their trailers, it might look a way better when the movie comes out. That has happened before with several movies. But, you know, ultimately it's the story and it's the appeal and maybe even the title. And like you said, it's just, I don't think it's a good title either. I think the rise part of it, very few movies can get away with that, and so many movies are doing it now that it's just kind of bland and generic. You know, it's not Wreck-It Ralph. There's no other title like that.
Right.
It's not Megamind. It's not, most of the other animated movies out there. They have generally kind of unique titles. Whereas Rise of the Guardians, you don't necessarily think, oh, this is the big kitty family holiday movie to go see. So that being said, you know, it's gonna get sell some tickets because it comes out before Thanksgiving, but I think it really hinges on two things: how good Wreck-It Ralph is, and maybe more importantly, how good or bad The Hobbit is. Because coming out in between those two movies could be a huge disaster for DreamWorks if one or both completely deliver. Even if The Hobbit doesn't, if nobody likes The Hobbit, that'll give it some playability through December because there's not many other kids' movies out. But, you know, if Wreck-It Ralph is still doing well, then that's going to hurt it. So, I don't know. Without seeing much of the movie outside of the one trailer I've seen, I think I'll say like 140.
Damn.
That's a decent. Well, I mean, I don't know, this one's a hard call for me. I could see it doing lower, but I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt, I think, with the holiday bump. So I'll say 140.
I actually have it at 100 even. I've heard it test,
wow.
I've heard it is not tested well. The trailers don't look good. It is based on a book series, but I don't know if it's a particularly popular book series. And thinking about the weekend of Thanksgiving is that is a time, we all know this here, it's a legendary time where studios dump their shit, is the weekend of Thanksgiving. You see a lot of, it's a wide variety of different films, and usually what you're looking at is all the wide releases that come out in Thanksgiving weekend, they're all movies that are never going to be number one. I can't think of the last time when that happened. And if it has, it's been years. Usually, whatever was the number one movie the weekend before Thanksgiving will be the number one movie that weekend. So, even though there will be a drop-off. But, you're fighting for number two, and that's never a good thing. And, you know, we talked about Tangled. That was set at number two for a couple of weeks. The Muppets came out Thanksgiving weekend. That did okay, but didn't do as well as Tangled. That was number two. So you're not even really going for the top spot, and it just doesn't look interesting. It looks generic as shit. I think families are going to probably go for, look, man, kids go see Twilight movies. I think that might be the alternative. Or Wreck-It Ralph. Or Skyfall repeat business or something like that. That's the only one from this weekend that we're looking at. I don't know what else. I know that there's like the Red Dawn remake and, oh wait, that is on the list. Oh, fuck me. $100
million. 65. That's what I'm saying. Yes. You have got, this is gonna be a big bomb. Look. This thing in its marketing, it's taking itself way too seriously, and that is never appealing.
Phil, I've got it. I don't want to interrupt you, buddy. I know what this movie reminds me of. You know what I'm thinking?
No, I don't actually. What?
Sinbad.
Ah, well, no, Sinbad was, like, that, what did that make, 10 cents? That's...
Well, this will make 20. My point being is, like, it's, but, like, how many action-adventure animated movies do well?
Never.
You're aiming for boys, alright? So you're not so much families, although you're aiming for families, you're aiming for family film aimed at young boys. And it's animated, and it's an adventure movie. And you look at this movie, and, like, you hear the description, you go, well, why couldn't this have been a live-action movie? And that's the problem that Beowulf had. Beowulf could have easily been a live-action movie. Prince of Egypt was, that was on last week, that was a good movie. Actually.
It's a good movie, and it did, what?
It did okay business.
Okay. It did okay. That was the best case scenario. But people don't go to animated movies for action. I'll fundamentally believe that.
No, they don't. That's the problem with this movie. They're aiming for action, and it's like, ugh.
I mean, you can have an animated movie that has tons of action. You just don't sell it that way. The Incredibles is, I would call that an action movie, but they didn't sell it that way. And that's the important thing. People go to animated movies for laughs, and this clearly doesn't have them. I also think the timing is terrible. This is the last movie that DreamWorks has under its distribution deal with Paramount. As of their next movie, their movies will be distributed by Fox. And if this movie bombs as bad as I think it is, then Fox is going to have words with them about the way that
Also, Paramount's not going to have as much interest in like making sure it succeeds. It's like, what's it matter? It's our last one. Who cares?
Interesting. That is true. You'd think a studio wouldn't be that self-destructive, but
but they are. They do that.
Well, they ain't Universal, but they're close. But yeah, I think once this is the kind of thing where, you know, I admire DreamWorks for doing something that's not at all safe, something that seems quite offbeat. And this seems to keep happening.
Just sounds silly though. Like, just you hear the description, Phil. It's like, all right, it's a movie. It's about a team of like holiday figures who are superheroes with Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Jack Frost, and God knows who else. They team up to the Tooth Fairy, the
Sandman.
It's like, what?
And they're fighting the Scarecrow.
You can't kill fear, Jack. I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, they're fighting Killian Murphy. So,
to be fair, just to play devil's advocate here, I personally have said a lot of the same stuff about things like Tangled, which ended up being a huge hit, like because of all its problems and everything. So I don't know. I will give huge props to you guys I just, I've learned that usually when I try to unpredict an animated movie, I'm completely wrong on it. So maybe I'm overcorrecting. I don't know. I don't know. It feels like it's going to find the kiddie audience.
I think, Sean, if it was the only animated movie in the market, I would give you the advantage on that, but it isn't. You know, there's still going to be carryover business for Wreck-It Ralph just because there's still going to be a lot of screens left.
That's true. Tangled still did well with Megamind too, though. I don't know.
There was Delgo. Don't forget that. Ang Lee's Life of Pi. I don't know. I haven't a clue. Help me out, Sean.
I can't help you on this one.
I don't know. This was the hardest one.
I can speak for Sean on this one, not to interrupt, because I'm going to do it anyway. I'm really sorry, guys. But seriously, Sean will agree with me on this one. We saw Prometheus, we all three saw Prometheus. I can speak for Sean on this. I have not talked to him about this. When that 3D preview scene played, no one said a fucking word, and it wasn't out of awe either. It was like, what the fuck was that? And I kind of wonder if it's the same thing with this movie, like with the actual movie coming out, because nobody reacted when they got to see a free scene in front of their big horror movie in the summer, which I thought looked fantastic. But, you know, it's like, oh, but it's screening really well. It might get Ang Lee another Oscar, his third Oscar. I'm like, well, maybe, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to make people care about it. I feel like it's kind of like Hugo, you know? It's like that great-looking – it's that movie that's wonderful. It's shot in 3D. It looks amazing. The critics love it. Film connoisseurs like us love it. But you could not sell, you could not pay people to go see this movie.
Yeah. I don't – Hugo is kind of an interesting comparison because that one really – as well as it did with the Oscar circuit and as good of a movie as it is, in my opinion, it didn't really do that well at the box office. It managed to make $74 million almost here in America, but for a Martin Scorsese movie and for a kiddie movie, for a 3D movie, and I think it had nearly a $200 million budget after marketing, that's just, it didn't do that well. And I'm not even sure Life of Pi is going to be as appealing as that movie. It's really hard to call because I've talked to people who say, well, you know, it's based on a pretty popular book and it's got the you know, biblical themes, which could play well through the holidays. We've seen that happen before, but we've also seen that go horribly wrong with movies like The Nativity Story, if anybody remembers that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what this reminds me of.
Well, come on, dude. The Virgin Mary got knocked up before the movie came out. That kind of hurt.
Well, yeah, I never even actually saw the movie,
I don't think so.
But that's exactly, you bring up a good point. That's exactly what this movie kind of reminds me of. And it's really one of the big wild cards, maybe the wild card of November. It could end up being huge. It could do that King's Speech thing that you talked about earlier somehow and just end up making $100 million because it appeals well to families or whatever. But I think there's so much competition for the family audience already. It feels like it's being dumped and trying to get Ang Lee the Oscar buzz, which that might work, but that doesn't always translate to box office. So. And that's what I think is going to happen here, especially coming out against three other movies on Thanksgiving weekend. And they're going to have to market it pretty crazily. And I completely forgot about that clip you mentioned before, Prometheus. Like I remember seeing it, but I couldn't remember what it was attached to. And everybody in the audience was just, you could feel it after it was over. It's like, what was the point of that? What did we just see?
Yeah, not in a good way either.
And I don't want to knock the movie because I think it looks interesting. I mean, I want to see it, but I just don't think a lot of other people will. So, you know, I'm gonna go pretty low. You guys may go lower, but I'm gonna say 40, and that might be generous. I don't know. I'm gonna say 40.
Now, what did you say Hugo did, buddy? You said about 70.
73, 74.
They did 73, and that was probably because they left it in the theater for a while. They let it stay, and like, so people go see it.
Yeah.
The critical accolades. I agree with you that that's pro. I'm going to go a little. You said 40. I'm going to say about. I'm going to say about 60. I think it could cut a little bit of a bump because I do think this will probably be a big awards movie, so it might get that extra oomph. But I'd be surprised if it does $100 million. And all power to it if it does and if it's as wonderful as it looks, because I am very much looking forward to seeing this movie. But again, man, 3D does not always make up for a movie. You know, like, oh, well, don't worry, we'll put it in 3D and that'll make up the difference box office-wise. And it doesn't always do the case. Case in point, Hugo. It didn't do it. So... Yeah, I'm going to say 60.
You are out of your fucking gourd if you think it's going to hit anywhere near that, Jamie. Good God, that's a shock. Fair play to you, but no, this is just... No, no. I'm going to say 45. I'm going to outbid Sean just to be crafty,
oh.
But... Yeah, I actually... No, trust me, dude. I had 45 written down here, and I'm sticking with that bid, but... No, I mean, it's just like... it just checks all the boxes. It's Ang Lee, who, let's be completely honest, in our circle, at least, and to a lot of people, is still that guy who fucked up the Hulk. Number two, it's weird.
No, he's not.
He is.
No, he's the Brokeback Mountain guy. I'm sorry. That's what he is for the rest of... to the end of time.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I think.
You would have been right before, Phil. You would have been dead on for years and years and years. Like, oh, he's the Hulk guy. He's the Hulk guy. No, he is the gay cowboy guy.
I'm right now the guy who fucked up the Hulk, if I may continue. It looks weird, and it's got a funny title. Life, I mean, you know, I just
that is a weird
see.
Title.
I want to see how different ways people pronounce
that. And cut out the one guy who was, like, recognizable. Because I still thought he was too distracting. I was like, that makes no sense. That's so weird. You knew when you hired Tobey Maguire to be, like, the interviewer at the beginning end of the movie that he was going to be the only name actor in the film. Oh, he was too distracting. He was just, like, too famous. Then why did you hire him? Like, that was strange.
Inherited our freedom. Now it's up to all of us to fight for it.
November 21st also brings us, finally, Red Dawn. Guys, I'm just going to be completely honest with you right now. Whatever you bid, I am going to underbid you, no matter what it is. That's how I feel about this movie. Sean?
30. That's really all I have to say.
I agree, just, let's move on.
These 80s movie remakes, just, I'm sure there's probably a success out there I'm not thinking of, but this one in particular, right, that's so... Yeah, that's well, good point. This one in particular, it's had so many problems, production problems, which, you know, nobody in the audience really knows about that outside of nerds like us who follow it, but that just doesn't speak well for the final product. It's coming out against three other releases, it's Thanksgiving, it's 2 weeks after Skyfall, and nobody's gonna care about Red Dawn. I don't see it. I could be, you know, Phil, you can go ahead and underbid this because I could see it happening, but I'm gonna say 30.
Jamie?
Fuck, I was going to say 30, actually. You know what? I'll just say this. I feel like you can put this as my official prediction. All right. Flop, 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 flop. This is Ninja Assassin. This is like the genre movie that's crap, that the studio knows it's crap. They're just going to throw it out there, let it die. I mean, you know, Cabin in the Woods is still probably my favorite movie this year. That was a case where a movie sat on the shelf for 2 years, finished, and they finally got it out, but it had nothing to do with the quality of the movie. And to be fair, it was the same thing with Red Dawn. It sat on the shelf, it had nothing to do with the movie. It was just the fact that the stuff with MGM was going down. Now Film District is putting it out. But it's a piece of poo! It looks terrible! Oh god, it looks bad. They're putting these, I mean, you know your movie's bad when, like, they put in the trailer the list of all the actors as in the big names. There's Chris Hemsworth. All right, God, he's a big name. But then they put in Tom Cruise's son. His name is flashed on there as if he's a big deal. It's his first fucking movie. Who cares? They might as well just put the credit saying Tom Cruise's kid. That tells you right there how bad this movie is.
So what was your bid, Jamie?
Sean said 30. I'm going to go a little higher and say 35. Just to make it a little difference. Because I was thinking 30, actually. It's going to flop. Absolutely.
I'll go 25 if you want me to.
Nah, you're fine. Because then Phil will pick like $2.
Yeah, he probably will.
You know, maybe $5.
You know what? Just for fun, I'm going to say 10 cents. That's what I'm going to say. That's my bid. That is my official bid.
This is one of the meaningless picks, though. It just doesn't matter because we know it's going to fail. It doesn't fucking matter. We knew it was going to fail. And, you know, even Cabin in the Woods, we talked about a few minutes ago, that movie did well. It did $43 million, I think, $44. It wasn't made for much, and considering it sat on the shelf for a while, it's pretty decent, actually. Not to spin it, but...
Do you know who I feel really bad for? The girl who's in it, Adrienne Palicki.
Well, that's another one. Her name's flashed in the credits. Like, no one knows who that is.
Well, I know who she is. She's had the most insidious run of bad luck. Failed Wonder Woman pilot. She's in G.I. Joe Retaliation, which got delayed. She's in this movie, which got delayed. Can the poor girl just get a break?
I think she's going to get her break. I do. I really do think it's going to happen for her. Obviously, it's none of these movies, but I think it's coming, dude.
I will take each and every one of these dwarves over the mightiest army. Loyalty. Honor. A willing heart. I can ask no more than that.
Home is now behind you. The world is ahead.
We're now taking a big jump into mid-December because practically nothing else of any significance is coming out until December 14th with The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Fight!
I'm gonna break protocol here. Can I hear Jamie go first?
No! Ghost protocol means you go first, Sean.
Okay.
No, I mean, he'll interrupt you as you go on, but
that's
you get
true,
to your fair number point, comes first.
But I already know what Sean's going to say. You know?
And my
well, we already know what each other is going to. I'm actually curious to see what Phil's going to say. He's the only one I don't know his opinion.
Okay. You know what? If you want me to go first, I will.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay. I think obviously foreign.
So
will...
anyway.
Fuck you cunt. Anyway, Foreign is going to be huge, of course. Oh, and I think it has an advantage in that it's the most appealing film on the menu in December. So there is the Avatar thing of it being, having the legs, because there's nothing else that's going to match it for spectacle. Nothing. But every bone in my body is telling me ahead of time that this is folly. That this will continue the downward spiral of Peter Jackson's career, and that this film especially will be long, baggy, and totally unsatisfying to an audience, and that plays a part in the numbers. I don't know exactly at what point in the story that this film ends, but I think it's going to have much more of a sudden screeching stop than Fellowship of the Ring did. Fellowship, and this was the genius of that film, felt complete to me because it was about Frodo. And it was about Frodo going on this quest with a group of companions and coming to the realization at the end of the film, something that he probably knew right from the start, he has to go it alone. And the fellowship is ended. You also have the character of Boromir who goes on a complete journey, which concludes at the end of that film. So you have a closure of sorts. So from that perspective, it felt satisfying, and yet people were still confused at the time. They didn't realise it was a trilogy and it had to be explained to them. I can't imagine what they're going to think of this one. This is just going to end with nothing resolved. Gollum will be out of the piece, maybe, but I doubt it because of all the extra stuff they're going to chuck in. So there's going to be no closure to any character. Are people going to go back to see it again just so they can feel dissatisfied a second time? Some people will, because some people like to harm themselves, but for a lot of people, no. No! I don't think it's going to hit 300 domestically. No! All of the Lord of the Rings films went past that. No! Shut up! I'll be done in a second. I don't think it's going to hit 300 domestic. It's not going to do as well as the initial trilogy. No! I will say 280. No! 280 and not a penny more. No!
Oh, God.
wow.
I didn't think it was possible for someone to outdo me. Jesus Christ. Jamie died that night. no, I... Sean, go ahead. I'll wait.
You won't.
Oh. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Leave.
I already know I'm going to be the highest predictor. So
oh, I know you. I know what number you're going
to
say.
I could really just go super low and try to win by default in my. But okay, I can't even get my thoughts together.
That's okay.
That 280 number really.
I can't believe
I didn't expect that.
Wow.
I completely agree with the points you made, Phil, about Fellowship being Frodo's movie, the closure of Boromir. Those are really good points that The Hobbit may not have. I think I'm not giving up completely on Jackson by any means. I do recognize, you know, Lovely Bones was a huge misstep. I like King Kong. It has its flaws, but I'm a defender of it. I think the sheer interest for this movie will automatically guarantee it one of the three best grosses of any movie this year, even if it's complete, you know, crap. I think it's the Phantom Menace factor all over again. I'm not, and I don't think even in a worst case scenario the movie will be as reviled.
I don't think it's Phantom Menace.
See,
I don't think it's been long enough to have the Phantom Menace factor, to be honest.
Well,
that was like 16, 17 years. This is
yeah.
10. Or
that's
11,
true.
Excuse me. I don't know if it's built up yet. I mean, we don't have there is not a Lord of the Rings nostalgia building up yet, which is why I think they should have waited. They either needed to wait a couple years later, like they were originally going to do, and then like have one out by 2006, 2007, or wait a little even longer. Like,
well, they haven't done anything to bring it back.
They've not
re-released the films. They've not done a 3D conversion. They've just re-released
true,
the films
actually.
On Blu-ray in a new wrapper. They've done nothing.
They don't. Do they need to? I mean, they did have this.
Well, it makes
pieces.
It would make
they
sense.
Did the trilogy last summer.
It would make sense to do that though, just to like get it out in the market. I mean, to me, the most telling thing about this whole trilogy split crap is they have now obviously republished the book with the cover of the one sheet of Frodo of Bilbo leaving his house, which is a really nice, lovely poster. But it just says The Hobbit, soon to be a major motion picture. They don't say The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, and I think that's very telling. Like, they don't want to tell you that, hey, it's three movies. They're just kind of keeping it like, no, it's just one movie.
Well, there's several posters out now with more material
they're
like
not
that.
Really, they're not really putting this across to people that it's three movies. Like, with Lord of the Rings.
But do they need to?
Yes, I think they need to, because the Lord of the Rings were three books, and so it was three movies, and it made perfect sense. And people knew. They did like a trailer. They did two different trailers for the trilogy, and then they did the individual trailers. And they haven't done any of that with Hobbit. And I thought that was the foregone conclusion, that they would do a Hobbit trilogy, or back when it was going to be just two movies, they would do a trailer just for both movies and say, because they were very clear. They said, you know, the Fellowship of the Ring, Christmas 2001, Two Towers, Christmas 2002, The Return of the King, Christmas 2003. They made that very clear.
Greatest teaser I've ever seen.
It is a great teaser, isn't it? Oh, so
yeah.
Funny. And remember the behind the scenes one that was even, that came out the year before that?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was so pimp. Like, we were so excited when we saw that one.
I don't know.
I don't
yeah,
see
I'm going to.
I don't see it. I think it's just gonna. I do think that this is gonna be considered. I'm with Phil. I think this is gonna be continue to be the downfall of Jackson, because he just doesn't get it, and he's just not. He's not learning. He's just gonna keep doing the same shit until he just puts himself in a hole like this. And I'm not gonna bitch about Del Toro or any of that stuff. My prediction. I mean, the lowest grosser is the first one, Fellowship of the Ring. It did, if I remember correctly, it did 312, which is a huge number. This has 3D factor to it. Yes. It is kind of the only competition for everybody, so I put that into consideration. I'm going to say 325. I think it's barely get past it, which is a great number. I'm not saying that's a bad number. I think some idiots are going to say it's terrible, and those people are idiots, because the worldwide is going to make up. I think this could easily – I think minimum this is going to do $1.3 billion, because we've got $300 million domestic, and then I think this does $1 billion by itself international, because it is – first, if it's got brand ammunition, it's The Hobbit. It's coming off Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's in 3D, because foreign audiences love 3D. And it's during Christmas, which every country in the world celebrates Christmas with the exception of Israel. And that's true. I mean, you know, it's not knocking them. I like Israel.
Sean, put it. Just cut him off before he insults another country.
Okay.
But you know what I mean, though. I mean, those kind of, I mean, that's, yeah, that's the perfect time, because that's what the other movies did. In fact, Sean and I talked about this also. I still think they're going to end up moving it up and giving it a 5-day weekend. That's still a strange one to me, because every Lord of the Rings movie came out on a Wednesday, and for some reason they want this one to come out on a Friday, and for the life of me, I don't get why. And I think it's because, oh, maybe they want the December. I don't think that's the reason, and I think they're going to end up moving it up.
Well, I'll start with where we do agree, and that's
what.
You said, I think you said 1.3.
Minimum.
I completely agree. I think this actually has a strong chance to beat the Avengers, which is like 1.5. I even think, okay, best case scenario, I'm not predicting this. This won't be my official prediction.
Sure.
But let's just, for the sake of argument, say the movie does meet or, well, in this case, beat expectations and people love it, even if not as much as Lord of the Rings. I think we can consider talking about beating Avengers, Harry Potter, but maybe even getting closer to 2 billion in an absolute best case scenario. Getting that out of the way. Talking about domestic. I'm getting my thoughts together now, and where I disagree with you about comparing it to as far as selling it as a trilogy is I don't think it needs to, because, you know, a decade ago, 11 years, whatever, Fellowship, they did have that trilogy teaser, but it was ultimately about trying to sell not just Lord of the Rings, which was already, you know, it still is or was the most successful nonfiction book or fiction book of the 20th century. And The Hobbit was up there with it. I think in terms of popularity, there's not really too much difference in terms of the books. But with Lord of the Rings, you know, 11 years ago, the fantasy movie genre was crap. It pretty much non-existent outside of just the really small kind of fanboy-centric movies, mainly from the 80s. Lord of the Rings completely changed all that, and Harry Potter did too in a way. But really, Lord of the Rings, I think you can make the argument, especially domestically, got the bigger share of that. But now it's completely different. You had those three movies, each one grossing more and more, both domestically and worldwide, and then the last one coming off all the Oscar wins. And despite all the jokes made about the ending and everything online, I don't think fans and online talk is really the best representation of how the mainstream felt about either that movie or the trilogy as a whole. And I don't think that's how anybody feels about The Hobbit. I think if you talk to somebody who is not us, who don't spend time on movie forums, I think if you talk to them and they know what The Lord of the Rings is and you ask them if they're looking forward to a Hobbit movie, it's going to be an immediate yes.
I respectfully disagree, only because people online are in favor of this Hobbit thing. It's so much spin because it's Jackson. They're willing to look past it. I think blindly. I think that's their problem.
Those people, yeah.
But it's Jackson. And they're like, oh, but Jackson said so. I'm like, who gives a shit what the fuck he said? Like, that's just, again, it's going back to the well argument, and it's like, that doesn't work. It never fucking works. And you could argue T2 is going back to the well, maybe, and like in that case, that would be the exception. That's it, though.
I don't know. I think the difference is there that this isn't just material they're completely making up. And yes, I know there's going to be some filler stuff there, but for the most part, it is going to be based on stuff that Tolkien fans generally know about that wasn't in the Hobbit book, but he wrote about at some other point. But I think all of that kind of stuff is really secondary, because that's stuff that only the fans, like movie geeks like us, really care about. If, you know, when my parents or whoever go see The Hobbit, they're not going to have any idea what's made up and what's not. What I do agree with you on is the execution of it. And I'm a Jackson fan. I'll defend him to a certain extent, but he does have to kind of reprove himself again after his last two movies. And I think, just being objective, you know, it's very possible that this doesn't go over well. But I don't think we see the result of that until the second movie next year. I think the December opening record is locked. I don't think, I would put a lot of money on it. Cause it's only 70-something million. Avatar has it. And it took it away from I Am Legend, which took it away from Return of the King 9 years ago. You add in 3D and everything, I don't think this can make less than 100 million. Outside of some, if it moves back to Wednesday, maybe. I do think they feel like they have a chance to go for, if not the opening weekend record anymore, which is pretty obvious, at least one of the better openings of all time. You know, maximum, maybe Hunger Games numbers. Because when you add in 3D,
I don't think you need
to sell as many tickets as Hunger Games
again,
to get that number.
Yeah, but again, it has to be the people have to want to go see it 3D. I mean, again, we've seen examples where 3D didn't do much of a difference. I mean, like, you know, I still think, I mean, we talked about the last Harry Potter, actually, I think we had this conversation in the Box Office Forum about which movies would have still made their worldwide growth, or would have pretty much made the exact same number with or without 3D. And I realized I made a mistake, but I thought, well, in retrospect, Avengers would have still made the money it did, 3D or not, because the anticipation was just there. It was a crowd pleaser. It was the right time. The last Harry Potter movie would have still made all that money. I think it would have made the exact amount of money without 3D. I think it would have mattered. And I just don't – I don't know if 3D is going to be a big –
I put Hobbit in the same category as Avengers.
I don't think – I mean, again, I think it could
be – In terms of 3D.
It could be Avengers worldwide, absolutely, because it's got – because of the international appeal, but I just – I don't see how this gets anywhere close. I mean, again, like, Lord of the Rings, the Tolkien hype was at its true peak with Return of the King because it was the last one. Everyone thought if it could win the Oscars that no one knew at that point. And even with that, it still did 380, which is a huge amount of money. It was a huge hit. But it still did 380, and I don't see how this one can do 4. And I've noticed you haven't given us a number yet.
Well, I'm kind of – I mean, I'm leading up to it.
Okay, all right.
9 years ago. It did what? Yeah, like you said, 380.
Yeah, 380.
You even just adjusted for inflation, and a lot of people disagree with this argument. And I there are flaws in it. I definitely address that. But even adjusted for inflation, even just using Fellowship as the marker because it's the lowest grosser, and I think that's the better comparison, not Return of the King. It adjusts to like 440, and that's even before adding any kind of 3D bump.
Right.
Now, obviously,
you're stalling, Robbins. Give us a fucking number.
Hey, I'm just addressing all of Jamie's points. That's all.
We'll be here all night.
Okay, well, here's my number. Here's my number.
All night. The Jerry Lewis telephone.
Okay, right. My number, I'll go with, jeez, I don't know.
That's okay.
It's definitely over 400. I'll put it that way. Yeah. I'm putting faith in it, though. I'm going to admit that. I'm going to be kind of blind on this because I'm such a huge fan. But I just think even if the movie disappoints, it's got so much anticipation behind it from not just fans but from everybody else that it's that event movie. It's secondary to Avengers.
Shut up, Jamie! Gellin, give us a number.
I know.
So, yeah, I'll say for whatever Hunger Games made, a million over that.
Hunger Games was, I think, 408. If I remember correctly.
So, yeah, I'll say 410, but I think it could go higher. Best case scenario, though, I don't think 500 million's off the table. But the movie has to be great. If people don't like it, it won't get there. But yeah, I don't think we can say that 500 is impossible.
Okay, two things, Sean. First of all, I apologize for my rudeness. Secondly, no. No. It's folly, Sean. Please, there's still time to retract this. There's still time. Come on, dude.
I can't retract.
With all due respect, you're both nuts. You're too low. You're too high. So I'm the one here. Just
only you're right.
I think it's yes.
The time to panic! Uh-oh.
Very interesting release date, I must say, for the latest Disney 3D re-release. It's Monsters Incorporated 3D on December 19th. To be honest with you guys, I haven't been able to look at how much Finding Nemo 3D did, so let me know how that did. This will do less.
Yeah, well, I think Nemo's around 35, 40 million right now, if I'm not mistaken, or in that range, which, yeah, 38, as Jamie just said. So,
not good.
It's not that great. They probably didn't put much money into it, so it's probably still profitable, but I'm sure it's not.
They had a lot of faith in that movie, though. They promoted the shit out of it coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a case where box office projections kind of blew it, but like, we all blew it because I thought it was going to do it too. I mean, I didn't know how much of a bump, but it's a very popular movie. It is one of the most popular Pixar movies. There was nothing else out, but didn't do it.
And I think really what they're looking at doing, obviously they're putting out because of the sequel next year, but what we're starting to see is, you and me, I think, you probably agree, you might be different, I don't know, but you see Lion King a year ago do nearly 100 million in its release. Well, why can't a Pixar movie do that?
Right.
Obviously we now know there are, it's Lion King's the exception to the rule.
Because it hadn't been done before. Because they they did it on a whim. They said, fuck it, let's put it in 3D. It ain't gonna cost us much. It's September, there's crap out.
Yeah.
We're not gonna lose money on this, let's just try it. And it went over huge. You notice every other movie that did it though hasn't done well. As Sean said, the whole point of this is to get everyone ready for Monsters Inc. University for next summer. And, you know, Monsters Inc. was very popular when it came out. People loved it. But now there's been more Pixar movies on the market that have not taken its, not stolen its thunder or anything like that, but just that have maybe even taken, I don't know what the word to use, but they've just gotten in people's heads more. They've memorized it more. They've seen it more than Monsters. And it's like, it's the other one. It's like, it's kind of like Bug's Life. Like, Bug's Life was very well received, but now you hear people say, oh, what? It's not revisionist history. It's just the fact that, well, there's been even more popular movies and it kind of gets pushed to the side just by default. And, you know, I just don't see it doing well because, I mean, whatever we said about Hobbit, and boy, did we talk about it if you're listening to this in sequential order, ladies and gentlemen, we know that there's going to be a family audience for Hobbit, though. So it's like, well, why would, you know, so they're going to go see that. That's going to be the first choice is The Hobbit and an Unexpected Journey, no matter how it does, what you think it's going to do. Where's the appeal of seeing Monsters Incorporated in 3D? Because I don't see it at all. And Finding Nemo is a huge Pixar movie, and that couldn't even do 40 in September. I mean, God.
Well, yeah, no, I completely agree. The one thing maybe to give credit for, or the complete opposite, we'll see in December, is that the 3D release thing hasn't been tried at Christmas yet for these movies.
True.
And that may not help at all. Like you said, The Hobbit's there, so that automatically is going to take up the family audiences. But what if The Hobbit disappoints? Or what if people just – the few people out there who don't want to see The Hobbit before they hear about it? This is the only other option for families in December, because by then Wreck-It Ralph has been out for so long. They've seen that. Rise of the Guardians, even if people like it, it'll have been out for nearly a month by the time Monsters is out. So, but yeah, I'm not going to break from the history. I would say it probably does like 45 million, which is right below what Beauty and the Beast did and probably a little higher than what Nemo's going to do. And I'm only giving it 45 because of the Christmas boost. If this was coming out in another month when people weren't going to movies, you know, I would definitely say less than 40, but I'll go with 45.
I'm going to say, not to be a dick, Sean, but I'm going to say, I'm not going to be a dick on this because Monsters Inc. is less corporate. I think it's going to do less than Finding Nemo did. I'm going to say 25.
Oh, wow. Man. Oh, boy.
I'm just telling you guys, let's think about this here. We're fighting for 3D screens, and yeah, more and more theaters are going digital. Hell, my theaters got digital, but you're having to book certain, you have to book certain movies, and if I'm an exhibitor, I'm going to probably book less screens for Monsters, Inc. when I'd rather book them for The Hobbit in 3D, and I think that's going to take effect to it also. So it's not that out of the ordinary to think like this could do under 30.
I'll say 35. Oh, that's going to be a good one. We'll find out how that one does.
Normal view.
Oh my God, is that what I think it is?
Where was the last time you saw Bin Laden?
Also December 19th, the film that probably will take the family audience, it's a Zero Dark Thirty. It's not I don't even know what kind of film it is yet. I mean, it's no stars, not the best release date, some curiosity, nothing more than that. I'm just going to tell you right now, guys, I'm going to say 30 for this one. 30 million, if it's lucky. It just doesn't seem relevant right now. Sean?
Yeah, no, it's... I think it's going to fall into that trap of Green Zone and those kinds of movies. Now, it could be a better movie than Green Zone because not many people really cared for that, but... And if it gets any kind of awards push, you know, that'll help it a little bit. But this goes back to what we were talking about with Lincoln.
Yes.
It's current events, and it's the complete opposite of escapism. And releasing at Christmas just seems like it's a huge gamble. Hopefully, I don't even know, haven't seen any reports of what they spent on it, but I think they might be relying too much on Catherine Bigelow's Oscar win. You know, all due respect to her because that movie did not do well. Yeah, it didn't. And
people don't communicate that flopped. It just didn't do well. It might have done okay. I don't even think it did well in home video. I could be wrong. I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's just, I think what could benefit this movie, and I've spoken to someone who thought the movie doesn't play politics. It is very apolitical. Like they've been very clear. It's like we're not going around parading that. We're not trying to play politics. We're just playing the story of how these tribes had to hunt bin Laden. We're not pro-Democrat. We're not anti-Republican, any of that stuff. And I think that will benefit this movie. And in that sense, it could be a crowd pleaser because, hey, we win in the end. We got we killed the bastard. That could be something. But as you said, Sean, these kind of movies don't do well because most people think it's a bunch of Hollywood assholes trying to, just talk to us dumb people in middle America. That's how it comes off. I don't get the impression that's what they're doing here because if you saw the Hurt Locker didn't do that. That wasn't just preaching to us idiot people, quote-unquote idiots. People that still didn't go because they associated it with that. So maybe this could get that bump, but I'm actually going to go out of the – I'm going to go on a limb here and say 80.
Wow.
I'm going to really go out there and be like the fact that it's something like the real death of that motherfucker. It's something that united us as a country. Like it was for a brief moment, nobody thought about politics. When they announced he was dead, it was a victory for the world, but particularly America. It was like, yes, he's dead, and we all celebrated together. And, this movie could help that.
I am not a hero. And if you're smart... That scares you. Because I have nothing to lose.
December 21st gives us Jack Reacher. I just think
I love that episode. You know, Max Power. I'm glad they're finally making that.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? I mean, they've got the mission for Slot. They want lightning to strike twice, and they completely forget they are dealing with two different kinds of film here.
Well, they forgot a money shot.
Yeah, there's that.
But it's a teaser. We can't really go off that badly. But it's like, where's even the MI4 trailer teaser had a money shot, and I underestimated MI4 when it came out. I was like, it's the fourth movie, guys. Like, I don't think. I blew it. I mean, Sean, you weren't on the show yet, but Phil, do you remember what I said? I think I said 140 or something. I just completely blew that one.
Understandably so. But then you see the movie and you understand completely why it worked. There was nothing else like it. But there was nothing else that was glossy, escapist fun in the grand tradition, as you said, of a Roger Moore Bond film.
This does not look
No, this is gritty and grimy.
You know what this is? This is the Timothy Dalton James Bond movie after 15 years of Roger Moore.
Yeah, this is License to Kill. It has that same kind of grimy, unfinished look about it. It doesn't look fun. And who's going to watch a movie that isn't fun?
It's hard to call till we see another trailer because Chris McQuarrie is a very good writer. He's a great writer, actually. And director, he's only directed a few things. I haven't seen The Way of the Gun. I think he directed something else. I feel bad. I don't remember off the top of my head. But he's written a lot of really good movies. I mean, Usual Suspects, Valkyrie. He's done a lot of script doctor work over the years. I feel like I'm almost cheating because we don't have a full trailer. Like every other movie we've talked about here has shown more footage, even in their teaser, than this has. And watch next week, they put a trailer out and we're like, wow, this is going to do huge, or this is going to completely die. But Cruise is so up and down, hot and cold, left and right with his box office lately, Actually, the last 10 years, his box office has been very wonky. This predates the whole fucking Couchgate non-news crap. I don't know where to go with this. I'm just gonna say, I feel like I'm copping out here, but I'm just gonna say 50. I don't know. There's no way to call it. I mean, like, it's weird. It's like, well, the title is generic and bad. I saw they've been putting out one sheets that don't look interesting. Again, they're generic. We just saw what happened with John Carter. And yeah, I mean, Tom Cruise is a bigger name than Taylor Kitsch, duh. But as we've seen, Tom Cruise just in a movie is not going to guarantee box office because, you know, Night and Day, everyone who's seen it says, even those who don't like it, they admit that Tom Cruise was awesome in it. He had total movie star charm in that movie, and that's how they sold Night and Day. And guess what? It didn't really do that. It did okay, but it didn't do as well as it was expected. So, and he doesn't look anywhere near as charming as Jack Reacher. I know it's a book series that's popular, but I'm going to say 50 because I just honestly don't know, and I could be dead wrong and this does big business, but... guys, I mean, this is just, I don't know.
It's not going to be the birth of a franchise, let's put it that way. I mean, I think
Paramount wants it to be. I mean, you know, when we get to the Christmas 2013 show, we'll talk about Jack Ryan. That could be the birth of a franchise, but this, I don't see it.
I'm sure this will be good. I'm sure with that writer that this will be a solid movie, but I just don't think enough people are going to give it a chance. So, no, I'm going to be much more generous than Jamie on this, and I'm going to help out Sean here make up his mind, but I'm going to say 90 million domestically, I will say. Sean?
Oh, actually, I sighed earlier because I was – you said 50, Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's the only reason I reacted, so – yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. The ups and downs on Cruise, I think the whole divorce thing, you know, this summer, it definitely didn't do anything to help his image. And this is not an established franchise. I don't know a lot of people who even know about the book series, even though I've heard of it. But it's, I'll say 55.
Okay.
So, you know, I hate to do that to you, Jamie.
No.
You can say 51. No. You can be an asshole.
I'll make it interesting though. I'll leave that 5 million gap. Cause that's honestly, okay. that's right where I see it landing. It kind of reminds me of Paycheck from,
yes,
you know, 2003. It's that movie that has that star, which Affleck was regarded as a star at the time, but the movie itself just didn't take off. Then there's differences here. Reacher's a little bit darker, but. Yeah, not the start of a franchise, as you put it, Phil.
They love you because you're the fighter. One person in a relationship's got a punch.
You know, I brought a magic cookie.
I don't feel anything, do you?
I think this room has rodents. Just saw it!
This is 40, the latest from Judd Apatow. After a long and boring conversation, we said this.
70.
45.
51.
How do you like the bounty hunting business?
Kill white folks and they pay you for it? What's not to like? I like the way you die, boy.
He is a rambunctious sword, ain't he?
So, opening on December 25th, and again, guys, this concept of movie theaters being open on Christmas Day is just completely alien to people outside of the States, but I just love the fact that this is how you spend Christmas Day, seeing movies like Django Unchained, The D is Silent, and that's the hook in the trailer, apparently. I mean, I liked the trailer. Right up until the bit where we get that pastiche zoom in on DiCaprio. And at that point, I checked out. I mean, I like that Tarantino's doing a high-energy comic book western, because I think that's the only way that you have a chance of making money in a genre that is proven not to make money, and even then, it's not a guarantee. See Cowboys and Aliens. Obviously, I'm hoping this movie will turn out better than that. But I just don't think Mr. Tarantino can let go of his foibles and his trademarks, and I think what we're going to end up with here is a very confused, up its own arse film. And plus, biggest thing of all, it's nothing that he's not done before. He's billing this as a revenge story. I've seen his classic revenge story. It was amazing. He's not going to do a better version in this context. I should hope that when this movie underperforms, it should be a humbling experience for Quentin. But he's not that kind of guy. So it will flop, and then he'll tell us that we were wrong for not seeing it. I will say, I've put 55 million. I think I'm being way too generous, actually, but I'm going to stick with that, 55. Sean?
I definitely don't think it's going to be one of his bigger hits, but I'm not quite as, I don't know. It looks good to me, but I definitely agree. It's the material, it could very easily, just knowing Tarantino, it might not spread. I still think it'll open well enough to get it high, though, because the curiosity after Inglourious Basterds, it'll be there, and having a pretty recognizable cast will help, but I'm going to say 80. Oof. I think that would be a fair number for it. Not necessarily huge, but a little better than a flop.
I think this is this actually reminds me of Christmas 97, where it was one of Jackie Brown was one of the big movies going into the holiday season. They put it on Christmas Day. It wasn't made for much, but it ended up doing $40 million, and it was viewed as a disappointment. And then, you know, it was a different kind of Quentin Tarantino movie. He was actually really growing up and trying something new about mature people. He had his little foibles, a little bit of it in Jackie Brown, but that's the movie where it's in there the least. And coincidentally, I think that's that Bastards are really his best two films, because they're the least Tarantino-y stuff in those two films, for the most part. It's got a lot of competition going against it. And the thing with Jackie Brown was like, when you look back at how that movie did during that competitive time, it was like, it's Titanic, Tomorrow Never Dies, which were the two big hits that Christmas, As Good As It Gets was a big hit that Christmas, a number of other films, and Jackie Brown just kind of got lost in the shuffle, and it was Quentin's first movie after Pulp Fiction, so it had that attention, at least from the media and from the film guys like us. I feel like this is the exact same thing. It's his first movie since Glorious Bastards, which I think is his masterpiece, and it was the biggest hit of his career. But what was smart about that was he put that during August, which is the kind of time you put a movie like that out. And he had a movie star in the lead role. I think it was an ensemble piece, but it didn't matter. The movie was Quentin Tarantino redoes World War II, and Brad Pitt fucking kills Nazis. And that was the universal appeal. And that worked, because he took something that everyone hates, and he did his version of that. And it played off. Everyone could relate to that. And he's done that again. Except now it's, well, what else does everyone hate? Well, everyone hates Nazis. What else do they hate? They hate slavery. So it's like, that's another one. But it does. I'm with you, Phil. It's too much of his foibles in that trailer. It's just way too much of them. And they should have put this out in August. And also, this movie was way more expensive than Jackie Brown. This movie went really, really badly over budget and over schedule. And there was a point where it looked like it was not even going to hit this Christmas. But it looks like it is going to now. That's great, I guess. And I'm hoping the movie's going to be good, but I'm going to say Jackie Brown business, 40. I think it's just tanks. Again, you're going up against a lot of other movies that are going to try to compete for that dollar, and Tarantino was already kind of a niche director. What does he have this time that gives it the extra oomph? Because DiCaprio is not a box office draw. People love the guy, but he's more respected. It's like De Niro back in the 70s and 80s. Like, people respected the guy. They liked him. But they didn't go see every single one of his movies, and, you know, DiCaprio's coming off some big hits, but it's not even DiCaprio's movie, it's Jamie Foxx's movie. You know, DiCaprio's the bad guy, but then again, Jamie Foxx isn't a big draw, so I think this tanks easily, $40 million, no question.
I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Oh, life has killed a dream I dream.
Opening head-to-head with Django Unchained on December 25th is Les Miserables, or Les Miserables, or Les Miserables, or anything how you want to say it, but it is the latest version of the musical for the screen. I remember I saw the non-musical version with Liam Neeson and Geoffrey Rush, and I actually... Yep. I actually enjoyed that version because I thought Geoffrey Rush was so impeccably cast as Inspector Javert. I've got to be honest with you guys, it looks amazing, but the Russell Crowe thing is the only thing that is giving me pause for thought. He's so chubby. It's an impoverished country, and yet he's been eating all the pies. It makes no sense.
What, I mean... Look, he's turning into Brando. What can I say?
Never mind. Anyway,
he's hungry, Phil.
And you're hungry, too. You've been really looking forward to this one, haven't you?
I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say it does 140. It's the alternative program movie. This is going to be the movie that's number two to The Hobbit. Because we know Hobbit's going to be number one in the Christmas box office. Everyone knows it. I mean, even no matter what we think about its real chances, how it actually does, it's going to be number one for a couple of weeks. So what's going to be number two? I feel like this is the strong number. This is easily the number two competitor. It's a huge play. Everyone knows it. It's got a huge cast. Everyone, well, there's Russell Crowe, but like people love Hugh Jackman. People love Anne Hathaway. People seem to dig Amanda Seyfried, whatever her name is. Yeah, I'm going to say 140.
Pretty much have the same feelings. I'm going to say I'm a little lower just because I've already overpredicted one musical this year in Rock of Ages. So
really, what do I have to lose? But musicals always give me pause. That being said, I've not heard a movie talked about more personally than other than The Hobbit that's coming out in December than Les Mis. And I think there's a reason for that aside from the fact that it's already a well-beloved play, but yeah, I'm gonna say 120.
And you know what it is? Well. You know what it is also, Sean? It's like that first trailer. It's like as people said, it's like no one after, and this isn't not trying to be silly or fallacious or anything like that, but after the Susan Boyle singing I Dream the Dream, everyone thought, okay, I've heard that song, there's no new way to hear it, and then you hear Anne Hathaway sing it, and that was the selling point of the first teaser, and yep. I tell you, man, that sold a lot of people. Like, I remember some people in my screening for Snow and the Huntsman, of all things. And again, it's anecdotal. You have to take that with some reservation. People said, wow. And I think that's going to really to get people. I mean, that it's heartbreaking the way she plays it and all that stuff. And from what I've heard, like, this is her Oscar to win. This is her Oscar to lose. After they screen the movie, they're like, okay, this is pretty much a done deal. She's going to get nominated. She's the favorite to get the Best Supporting Actress Oscar. Just go ahead and write her speech now.
I'm going to say that this is the one where the cut-off date of January 31st becomes very, very important. I have said 139 just to underbid Jamie, but I will say that will by no means be the end of it because I think, yeah, the Oscar buzz on this one is going to give it the legs past that, and it's going to do more by the end of it. But anyway, you look at it, we're all agreed this is going to be a big hit, which for a musical is really, really impressive. But
I think also this could be like the True Grit kind of thing, where it's like there's the big summer blockbuster, or the big Christmas blockbuster, and then that does its business, but then this is the one that stays around longer. In fact, I've talked about this with Pietro, our pal over at Daily Blam, who comes on the show every so often. He kind of thinks that this could steal something from Hobbit. Like, everyone's seen Hobbit. They were disappointed. They don't like it, and they move on to Les Miserables. And that's the movie that sort of... But, you remember with, like, True Grit, though, I mean, it was a solid number two against Little Fockers.
Actually, I was... I kind of upped my number on Les Mis the last second, but I'm the lowest anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But you brought up a good point about how it's going to play. It could be that movie that doesn't really open big, but it does play throughout January and February, so that cutoff date is pretty important. So yeah, I think it actually ends up maybe doing closer to 100, but you guys have convinced me to go up to 120. Jamie especially, he was the one that kind of told me about some of the early buzz on the movie, so we'll see. You better be right.
I'll blame my guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
All that remains for me to say is to remind you guys that you can be part of the action too. That this is your chance to leave your own predictions on the 15 movies we've talked about in the comments section. Same format as last time, please. Just write out your big list of the movies. I'm going to do that in the post for you and just put your domestic US total up to January 31st, 2013 next to it. And I will tally up all the winners. And for each movie, we'll have a web winner. I think we're going to do the results show probably first week of February. That seems to make sense, assuming we can all make it for that. And blood will flow. It's going to be awesome. And you know what, guys? I mean, Sean, I've got to give you the credit for this. This show was your idea. At first, I thought, well, how much fun is it going to be doing winter movies? But this has actually been more fun than the summer one. I don't mind. You so thank
you. You know what it is? It's shorter. That's why.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that because we're at 2 hours and 22 minutes at the moment. So
yeah, but we have a lengthier discussion. Like it's like we could like really go into it. I mean, look, it's gonna be next summer before we know it, and God knows how long that show's gonna be.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I can't even think about that.
I'm already writing my predictions for next summer.
We're going to have part one, all the movies up to Superman, part two, Superman, part three, all the other movies post-Superman.
Superman just by itself. We will probably get our biggest hit counts just for the Superman show, so yeah, you might want to do that.
I hope so. But yeah, thank you very much for this wonderful idea, Sean. It was great.
Hey, thank you guys for, and I mean, I wouldn't have thought of it if you hadn't brought me on for the first show this year, so.
Nice to have you.
Work for each other.
And Jamie, thank you so much for your passion, as usual.
Back at you, sir.
And thank you very much for listening. We will be back, same Movie Moan time, same Movie Moan channel next week. Until then, the balcony is closed.